Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Joseph and I've got Anne here with me.
Hello, welcome.
Anne is my wife, by the way.
After many episodes, I'm sure they know already.
Someone might be listening for the very first time and doesn't know that.
So I am the wife.
The wife. I love that. Not a wife. Anyways, you're welcome again to Not Alone Today podcast. On this podcast, basically what we do week in, week out is to respond to questions that young adults are sending to us. Many of our listeners do reach out with one question or the other, and we reflect on those questions from a biblical point of view. I'm trying to be as practicable as possible in our responses.
Yes.
Today's question is about publishing. It's about writing, which is something I don't think we've talked about before on this podcast. We've made references to our books, some of the books we've written ourselves, but today's question comes in from a listener along the lines of writing. So I'll hand over to Anna to read the question to us and then we'll pick it up from there.
Good. So the question is, do you ever worry about whether someone, or many people in fact, might have written about what you have in mind to write about? So this is coming from someone who wants to write a book. The question was actually sent to Joseph to respond to.
I think that this is something that, to different levels of intensity, goes through the mind of authors. That what you want to write about, someone else has written about it, and that's absolutely fine. I could remember once having access to a library of lots of ebooks, and on the one hand being super excited that I have these very many books in my library to read, but on the other hand also feeling a little bit overwhelmed, like, so what again is there to write if I have these very many books and these very many fantastic authors that I've written? But of course, over the years of writing, and by God's grace, either singly or jointly, we've published over 10 books. Over the years, hearing feedback from different readers makes you know that you still have something to offer. Like, there's still a space, there's a niche for you to occupy. I think for everyone that has ever considered writing or publishing a book and all of that, the first thing they need to settle, more so from a Christian point of view, and the person that asked this question was asking in that sense, as a child of God that wants to use the gift of writing that God has given him to be a blessing to the body of Christ and to the world at large. If you want to do that, then the first thing to realize is that he that gave you the gift also has prepared the space for you wherein that gift will flourish. And so it's a question of identifying your space, identifying your niche, and then finding your voice and going for it. So in other words, you may not necessarily be saying something new, but the fact that you have a unique way based on your unique experiences in life, your unique exposure, your unique way of learning and picking things, and then your unique way of expressing the things that you've learned and you're picking up, goes in a way to reach out to certain people out there. There is an audience that will connect when you speak about what you speak about than when someone else speaks about the same thing you are speaking about. I for one, for instance, I'm always super excited about Max Lucado books, and I've always often pointed some people maybe during counseling and all that, I'll be like, okay, there's a book I've read that I think you would enjoy. But if there's anything I've learned over the years, I've learned that not everybody enjoy the same kind of books that I enjoy, the same way that I have enjoyed them. And the reason for that is simply because we connect differently. And so there is a way that you will write and express what God has laid in your heart to express that will touch someone else. It could be because of the unique experience that you've had, maybe the challenges you've gone through, the upbringing that you have, the context in which you grew up, the church background you are coming from. There are just so very many layers and factors to our lives that makes us unique and makes whatever we are saying, even if every other person is saying it, to sound different to the people that God intends for us to reach out to. As this question or this reality ever crossed your mind?
Yes, but in the reverse.
Okay.
So what me I look out for when I want to read books is the title.
Okay.
The catchier the title, the more I'm attracted to wanting to read it. It actually happened mostly with articles.
Okay.
So I follow the Gospel Coalition.
Yeah.
And the first thing that made me start reading their articles is the beautiful way they caption each article. They could want to say something like, theology is a good thing for you to learn. And they will title it something similar to, this theological junk, what is it all about? Then I get like, oh, I'm curious, I want to know. And I go read something complex. They break it down. It's like a trinkle. They just break it down to my level. And I read it and I get everything from it. It was the time I read about whataboutism. And for the next 2 weeks or thereabouts.
2 weeks or 2 years.
I couldn't stop talking to my husband about it. So it's just what about you? They coined it to whataboutism. And it's basically saying when someone is correcting you for something, and instead of acknowledging the correction, you say, what about you? Don't you do it also? Things like that. So that's what catches my attention for books. Because sometimes we kind of mistitle books. And I've seen that mostly from Nigerian authors.
Yeah.
And from big GOs, the main thrust of their book could be something like, be aware as a parent of your child's growth and pay attention. But they will title it something like, spiritual discipline as a parent. And I knew when I was growing up, my mom would say, read this book. I read it and it was good. You need to read it. And I look at the title and thinking, they're not talking to me. I'm still like, what you've written here is totally, I'm not interested. Like, no, go read chapter 2, you will see. Then for real, I go read chapter 2 and I get really engrossed. Then I look back at the title, like, what were they thinking? Given this title, or sometimes the title might be correct, but the picture would be incorrectly applied. So the book could say, spiritual discipline as a parent, and the picture there will be two hands clasped together in prayer. It doesn't appeal to me. Maybe because I'm a youth, we kind of judge things by its cover. I know they say we shouldn't, but it's just our first reaction to things like, is it for me or not? And the title and the picture shows us. The color too also shows us. So my part of the advice, I'm not a prolific writer like my husband, so that, just give me that caveat. But what will attract me to reading any book is the title, the picture, oh, the color.
By the picture, you mean the cover?
The cover, yeah.
Okay.
The more abstract and dancey it is, the more I'm likely to open it. Thanks.
And the interesting thing then becomes that same thing that you find appealing is what someone else will find
too much.
Either too much or repulsive. Which goes back to the fact that we all have different tastes, really. There are many layers, of course, to writing and publishing that can be overwhelming. In fact, by the time you want to start enrolling in all sorts of online lessons about writing, about how to design your title or coin your title, I mean, there are lessons for that.
Okay.
How to design your covers, how to lay out your book, and all of those kind of different aspects to it, how to market it. You can even get overwhelmed before you start. It starts indeed from that, first and foremost, know that you are called to do this. There was a post, and I'll put the link to this in the description, because I think it's on my blog as well. There's a post that I wrote a couple of years ago, entitled, Are You Called to Write? I think maybe that's where we should even have started. So you want to write, that's good, but are you called to it? I mean, people write for all sorts of reasons, but if you're writing as a child of God with the intention of seeing that as part of your ministry, it changes the way you approach this, because it's a journey, it's a roller coaster, it's an adventure. But having settled that you are indeed called and you know the message, the central message that you are called to, as it were, write about, that will be like the go-to message in the different aspects of whatever each project you're working on is focusing on, then you want to now start thinking about these kind of issues that you've raised. How do you then tie to what you're doing? How do you design the cover? Because you then know that you have an audience in mind. So how do you get
those people
you have in mind, those unknowns, how do you reach them? Because indeed, if you don't want to get lost in the crowd, I mean, if you find out how many books are being published on a daily basis, it's just so mind-boggling that you keep wondering, why does everybody just want to get the book out in their name and all that? Then how possibly could my book stand a chance in the midst of all these myriad of books? Part of what will determine that comes down to the cover and the title, like Anne is saying. So yeah. To tie it up in a nutshell, one, settle your writing calling, your ministry of writing. Settle it with God. Know what you are called to do. And then two, own your space in that regard. That would mean that even when you're not getting as much feedback as you are hoping to get, both in terms of feedback from readers or monetary feedbacks, the writing should bring money if God prospers it as such and God wills it as such, and you are not getting that yet, that's another discouragement or discouraging point. But if you have owned it, that this is what God wants me to do, and you are trusting Him to guide you, and then you open yourself to all the avenues to learn and develop yourself in doing what you are called to do, I believe that it's a matter of time, and the sky, as they say, is the limit, or maybe the starting point for the impact of your writing. Is there any concluding thoughts?
Yes, just back to the title.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that, make it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's something then Joseph says to me. He would say, if you're trying to bring an idea, can you say it? Can you say the idea in just a few words?
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to condense your intention is
mm-hmm.
in a few words, from those few words your title will be, you would find your title.
Mm-hmm.
But because I remember I just thought back to what I said about the TGs and how that they made it catchy.
Yeah.
The catchiness is not the important part. The important part is they've taken the message and think, what would an Anu think about this article, and they brought it out to me and it sounds and it's
spot on,
perfect. So the simpler, the better. Mm. And God help us all.
Amen. That's a very important point. You should be able to articulate whatever it is you want to write in one sentence. I think I learned that from Max Lucado. And this goes not even just only to a book, whether you want to write an article, you want to preach a sermon, you should be able to articulate it in one sentence. And then that gives you the core of what you want to work on. So yeah, I mean, there are many other aspects to writing that we could touch on, but in specific response to the question that our listener sent in, do you ever worry about whether someone or many people in fact have written about what you have in mind to write about? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that it's natural to feel like that, but no, in the sense that you need not worry about it, because you have something unique to offer to the body of Christ. And as you settle your writing calling with God and embrace it, then let Him lead you and open yourselves to all the avenues and resources to learn about becoming better in doing what you are called to do, and stay faithful at it. You will earn the rewards that come, both on this side of eternity and in the world to come. God bless you. Yeah, so that's today's episode done.
Wrapped up.
For those that might be joining us for the first time, this is Not Alone Today podcast. And if you would like to look back to some of our previous episodes, we are in season 3 presently. But all of the previous episodes are on whatever podcast app you're listening from, or you can go to josephkolaole.org/notalonetoday. The details are in the description for you to catch up, and we'll be glad to see you back hopefully soon. Till then, remember,
you're not alone today.
God bless you.